We have ignition sequence start.
Short distance, high impact.
5, 4, 3, 2, all engines running.
10 questions with Adam Zwar. Big names, great minds.
Make yourself a cup of tea.
Liftoff, we have liftoff.
Welcome back to 10 Questions. Sorry about the hiatus, I've been running around a bit lately. Today's guest is the magnificent Sam Simmons. He had a watershed year last year, winning the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and the Barry Award at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. He's been on Conan, Dirty Laundry Live, Triple J, No Activity. It was great at No Activity, check him out there. And sometimes you can find him drinking in dive bars in suburban LA. Minutes before this interview, he was stung by a spider and spent the first 90 seconds lying down. That's why the sound's a bit weird at the start, but it gets better. By God, it gets better. I started by asking Sam when he was most happy.
Do I have to give, like, the proper, like, just one answer?
No, go for it.
A couple.
Yeah.
Okay. There's been a couple of times. Mostly it's that bit, you know, when you're not too drunk.
Yeah.
But just a little bit drunk. That's when I'm most happy. Just, like, one or two beers and it's sunny and you're feeling pretty great.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, anything can happen. And you don't have anything to do the next day. And you've done a good day of work.
Yeah.
That's when I'm most happy. And the other one is I was doing a gig in Mount Isa, and I was scared because it was 1,000 people in a civic centre, and I thought I would die. It was very early on in my comedy career, and I then realised that I could improv and make stuff up instead of delivering the lines on stage as a stand-up. And I improvised by grabbing a shopping trolley and getting into the shopping trolley and then using it like a gondola and coming out on stage in front of 1,000 miners, using a mop to push me along like the gondola. And I started singing Mopra. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this is what it is. And I felt really happy because I felt like I'd kind of unlocked a comedy key or a comedy padlock.
Wow.
It was a good moment, a really good moment.
When was that? What year was that?
Geez, that was 8 years ago. And, I still haven't worked it out. I still bomb. But at least I'm valiant. I die noble deaths on stage like a gladiator. You know what I mean? They're always worthy. It's like, oh, but he died a good death. He was trying something weird.
The thing is, you are a fucking gladiator out there. You are, like, your performance
style. Well, you've got to be. That is it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Who would you like to apologise to and why?
I think my brother and lots of my exes. But my brother, I mean, I have apologised. I mean, it's not like I did anything really bad, but just a lot of, I'm just really sorry. Because I ran away from home at 13 and he looked after me. And he's my half-brother and he kind of put his life into stasis to look after me. And, you know, I've given him money and stuff like that and helped him out in hard times. But I just can't say sorry enough. I just think I ruined the really, you know, the sexy peak of his life in his mid-20s because he was looking after an idiot teen.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And you...
I think apologies there, yeah.
What does he say when you apologise to him?
Oh, I'm just, like, I'm sorry for being a dickhead. And sorry you got lumped with me, all that kind of stuff. Like, a lot of regret he had to grow up a lot quicker than he probably... Should, mind you, he's in his mid-20s, he can deal with it. But, actually, fuck him. I'm not going to say sorry to him. I'll say sorry to all my exes. My exes.
I've actually interviewed a few of your, or at least one of your exes before. Just with your brother, what's his response when you say sorry? Is he like, oh, don't worry about it, or, yeah, you
oh,
did?
Oh, yeah, totally. He loves me to death, really proud. He's a very, very funny man. I think he's very secretly jealous of what I do.
Yeah.
Because he's funnier. He's way funnier. Very, very bitchy truck driver-like guy. Very funny. Imagine like a catty man in a wife beater. There's something about him. He's very funny.
That is very evocative. Mate, question three. What is your greatest regret?
Oh, I think there's two. One's marriage. God, I just heard my wife then just yell out. She didn't hear that, though. You know, she already knew. She knew what I was about to do. I think marriage... I'll be honest, like, it's really good. Like, it's terrible. It's really good that I've got this person in my life forever. forever. You don't really think about the whole forever side of it. It's just like, what are you doing? It's not like I need to go off and do, like, you know, feel the sensation of, like, other women. It's just, what are you doing? Every day, forever. Just waking up and looking, going, oh, there you are. Again. But I love her so much, I'll never divorce her. I'm just not a bad man like that. So it's just going to be forever. And I really regret it. It's so good to be alone and just wake up alone and just shut the door and just shut them out of your life. And just you fucking stay in the lounge room. I'm in the bedroom. Get away from my life. Just for a few hours. So it's definitely my biggest regret. It's also one of my greatest achievements. But that, and also I was almost a fully qualified zookeeper, and I almost became, got into curating at Melbourne Zoo. So I kind of regret that as well. So animals and my fucking wife.
What will you still need to do to feel you've lived a satisfactory life?
No, give her a baby. I don't know. I guess, you know, in a real way, probably helping people as opposed to, like, just floating my way through this, like, ridiculous pursuit of being a clown for cash. I think maybe volunteering somewhere eventually, or just giving back in some really nice way. I think that would make me feel good one day. That's a bit sentimental, but I think definitely I'd like to, go wash leather's assholes or something like that.
The next question, who is the person who most influenced you and how?
My mother. Horrible woman. Horrible, horrible lady. Terrible lady. My whole life, I don't know if you saw my show last year, but it was all about that. But she's just hilarious and bitter and twisted. And I'll tell you a quick story. She's really posh, but not at the same time. Kind of like, like when your mum's voice would change when she was around posh people?
Yes.
And she'd go up and do this kind of, She's one of those ladies. So my image, when I think of her in my head, that is Elvie. I think of this woman propped up in bed with one of those U pillows. Remember the U pillows?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, with one of those, it was frilly. It was kind of like a salmon colour. And she'd be reading like a Danielle Steele novel or something, and she'd yell out, to me, because I did all the cooking and stuff. It was weird relationship. I think it's because she had me quite late. So when I was started to go through puberty, she was going through menopause. So there was a lot of hormones in the house. And it was just weird. We didn't like each other. And sometimes you just don't like it. You can't help it. You don't always like your parents, and they don't like you. So anyway. So she'd be propped up in bed on a Sunday morning reading a Danielle Steele novel, and then she'd yell out, microwave mother a lamb chop. And it was the thing she liked, like on a Sunday morning, was individually wrapped lamb chops in the freezer door, which I then pop in the microwave for like a minute and defrost and then chuck them into one of those. Remember those old grills? Those the vertical grills. Like a poor man's George Foreman.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop them in that and then bring in mama a lamb chop, the dollar of HP sauce. I think, she's definitely the one who shaped me the most. I mean, that's not fucking weird.
And anyway, is that why you ran away from home?
I nicked off at 13 and then I had to go back at 15 for legal repercussions. But, I just buggered off early because it was just a pretty crazy scene.
The next question is, when was the last time you cried and why?
Last week, just watching one of those rescue dog videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can't help but watch them, like where they find a dog like just snapping and snarling in some vacant lot, like in, you know, Philadelphia, and then some guy just goes in there and just wins its heart. And then the dog grows its hair back, or it's got a gaping wound on the side, and then it's licking and loving children. You're like, oh, dog love. I can't help it. I just lose it.
And they're so quick. They're so perfectly made, and that like the structure is perfect in those videos. You know, the beginning, middle, and end.
Lilting piano.
Yeah. No. And with sometimes no voiceover, just graphics saying 3 months later.
Oh, I love them so much. I love them. That's what I'll be doing. Most mornings I wake, and it is bad, like Facebook and social media, but I will wake and just watch, like, ridiculous animal rescue videos to start my day. And I don't know if it's the right way to live. I should just go and do it myself, maybe.
Well, you've got a way with animals. The zookeeping thing, regardless of not passing the test or whatever it was, you know.
I chose to be, I was either going to be a, quite literally go out to the Cocos Islands and work with 6 female elephants coming to Melbourne Zoo. At the very same time, I was offered a gig on Triple J, and I just took the easier option.
Oh, mate.
Option B just seemed better because I didn't have to pick up turds, I guess. I do regret it sometimes. It was a wonderful job.
You, mate, I see a little, the young Triple J faces in your audiences all the time, mate. They
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. You know what's really great about that? Because, you know, I sound like a blokey guy, but my act, you know, as you know, it's quite weird and it's almost verging on slightly effeminate. So it's kind of interesting when I do look out at the kind of like the ute and like bogan kind of, you know, blue collar tradie brigade that come to my shows, and I think, oh, I'm doing my bit here, educating the bogans,
about a little bit
of effeminate art
against their
performance
will.
Performance art, because they do. They'll come up. They're like, oh mate, you're all fucking weird. We love it. I'm like, all right, good. Thank you.
you give them enough of what they want, and then you take them on a journey as well.
And they're like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean, I love, that's my favourite part of an audience, is that questioning kind of like, I don't know whether we should be liking this or not. Well, that was evident the other night. You came to watch me do a spot the other night. I had a little bit called Got a Little Doodle, which got nothing. It was just Got a Little Doodle on repeat, if you remember. And, it was really quite awkward for everyone. I saw one lady in the front row just look at me like, what is this?
I laughed at that.
The doodle. She's right, though, but she is right. It's a doodle, mate. It's a doodle.
But, yeah, I reckon that'll play well at home.
We'll see. And
in England. what is your... The next question is, what is your current state of mind?
Loose, because I wake up at, like, 5 a.m. And I'm mid-creating a show, a new live show at the moment, which is the best part of the whole experience, is the creating and the fantasy in your head about how well something's going to go. So things are good in my mind right now, but we'll see how it goes when we get to opening night. It's almost elation because I think I'm there, and it's loose. It's a good state of mind at the moment.
I mean, what I admire so much about what you do is the trust that you put in your technical crew all the time, because I'm always going, oh no, fuck that, I cannot rely on anybody. This is bullshit.
I've done it for dummies. It's like really, I have sometimes a maximum of like 12 audio cues in my show, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't trust enough. So I time huge tracks, which is to my detriment as well, because then I don't get to play around and muck around with people and interact. I'm like just listening to an audio track or trying to time my words to a Morricone score. I'm like an idiot. So it's about maybe cutting down that kind of stuff into just less of the technical in there and, you know, more of the vanilla stand-up.
Mate, no, I love the interaction you have with yourself and or Paddy Bramall or whoever. I notice I haven't been on there yet, but one day.
I actually wanted to approach you, but we ran out of time. I didn't even know you were here, mate.
Yeah, mate, I left quietly and I came here quietly, to be honest.
I know. It's just, you like that.
Well, I just, there's a guy who I was friends with when I was 21, and he had a party because he was leaving Brisbane to go to Perth, and his parents actually were rich, and they threw this massive party for him. There was a band and everything. Paul's going to Perth. And literally 4 days later, I was walking down the Queen Street Mall in Brisbane, and I saw him, and I said, what happened to Perth? And he goes, it didn't work out. So I'm always paranoid, mate. That I'm going to be going back.
I know exactly what you mean. It's also about saying things out loud if they don't happen, because you look like an idiot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I just told you my news before from the UK. But there's a, you know, a 0.1% chance something will go wrong. And then I'll be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So I don't tell anyone.
Yeah. We're hardened, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
the next question is, what do you consider your greatest achievement?
I think, look, I mean, how serious are the answers to these things?
Oh, serious and dumb, whatever you like.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think surviving. No, I'm not saying that. How about surviving? Anyone that says, oh, I survived, bloody... Anyway, it would probably be surviving. My sense of humour surviving my childhood, I think, because it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
It's not oh, woe is me, but I am really proud of that because I could be a massive drug addict or something, or dead,
yeah,
quite seriously. And I think that's my greatest achievement, was getting through some pretty dark stuff.
Yep.
And being... I'm quite tolerant.
Yeah,
I think.
Do you?
I saw a Polish person the other day, just walking on the street, and I was totally fine with it. You know. I know there's wires of Poles. You got the Polish.
Deutschland, German.
God damn it!
All our family came. All the Lutherans got off the boat around your area.
And, oh really? Of course, Handorf.
Yeah, and then they moved to Victoria, and you know,
got okay. I just looked up the origin of your surname, and it said Polish, so I was like,
There is a bit. I think it was a little bit longer, the surname, and then they just shortened it at some stage. We speculated a little longer on the origins of my name, which eventually ended in Sam accusing me of pretending to be Jewish to increase my comedy credibility. Which is pretty spot on. Who would you like on your side in a battle and why?
Ricky May.
Yeah.
Because he's big. He was big.
Yes.
Solid. And he could croon. No, Ricky May and John English.
Wow. Yeah. Mate, John English would just get...
Answer.
That's brilliant. No one's mentioned John English. No one's mentioned Ricky May. But
Black Eyes.
Yeah, John English, though, yeah. he'd look
I
after you.
Him. I don't know. I think really in a battle, I'm definitely my best mate, Max.
Is he funny?
He's failed. He's really funny. He's wonderful. But when you become a paramedic, you have to not audition. You have to
The
test, yeah, whatever. Yeah, test, I guess. But he's failed that like four times, but he's the kind of guy that would be cool in a crisis. Like, he could be a paramedic. I know he's not.
Yeah.
It's a stupid story because he's not a paramedic. But any paramedic, because they're amazing people. I think I'd bring him to battle, and I'd also love my comedy hero would be Bill Burr. I love Bill Burr, but I'd love Bill there, just having a whinge.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys performed together on the same bill? Or
we did a gig last year, and... It was in a weird warehouse in downtown LA, and it was like a hipster, a bomb went off, and he walked in, and he's like, oh my God, look at this fucking hipster shit everywhere. And then he looked across at me, like, and I know I look like the ultimate hipster because I wear a funny hat and glasses and the mustache, and he just looked at me and went, ah, shit. And then I had to try and explain to him that I'm way more 1980s cricket than I am hipster with this mustache, and I've had it since 2009,
yeah,
which predates all of that shit.
Yeah.
And it is, like, this is my homage to the Australian male via cricket in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. This is not hipster. This is just what my head looks like. When you see me on stage, it's like, oh, that's not a hipster. That's just not right. But he prejudged. He just thought I was part of the whole thing. I was like, no, I'm not.
About now, I asked Sam if Bill Burr understood his cricket reference, and Sam said Bill had tried to relate it to baseball and it didn't really work. Then our conversation moved on to footballers, and Sam said he'd seen a certain AFL legend at a bottle shop recently looking in pretty bad shape. And then we talked about another footballer who'd urinated on some people outside a pub, and then we talked about another athlete who was recently accused of exposing himself in public. I would have loved to have played that bit of the conversation for you, but I don't have the time or the money to defend three separate defamation suits.
Something's gone wrong, Adam. You've unlocked something.
Mate, this is what this podcast is all about.
Not good.
And the final question, what would you like your last words to be?
Radsticks.
Beautiful.
Only because... it's something whenever we're in turbulence in the air, like, you know, with this job flying around a lot, my wife's a very nervous flyer, and
it felt like we were almost going to die. And I've always said to her, hey, whatever you do, my final words to you, it will be two thumbs up, and I'll just look at you and go, rad sticks.
Rad sticks.
there's no love in it. There's nothing.
We have ignition sequence start.
Short distance, high impact.
5, 4, 3, 2, all engines running.
10 questions with Adam Zwar. Big names, great minds.
Make yourself a cup of tea.
Liftoff. We have liftoff.